Hey, AfterBuzzers, welcome to our Supergirl After Show. Tonight, we are talking about the finale, that is Season 3, Episode 23, Battles Lost and Won. We'll be talking about Sam and Rain and the battle that went down, what's happening with Wynn and his future, and pretty much all the other drama that went down tonight. Stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
This song, such a pivotal moment in the episode, and just, I can't get enough of Charlie Puth, but welcome to our Supergirl After Show. I'm Stephanie Wanger.
Carolina Benetti.
And I'm Lucretia Lyon, guys.
And, of course, tonight will be spoiler-filled. We are talking about this finale episode. So much to break down. In a lot of ways, this felt like a series finale. It didn't feel like a typical season finale that we've had in the past on Supergirl. What did you think?
Sorry, I'm so into this piano right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I sort of had the same feeling where it almost felt like they were wrapping so much stuff up, like they were being canceled, like I've seen on so many other shows, which, you know, we know wasn't the case. Because, yeah, there were a lot of loose ends and there was a lot of foreshadowing that really didn't come to fruition and a lot of stuff that maybe felt like it came out of nowhere.
See, I kind of took it as they're moving Supergirl in this brand new direction, which I'm really excited about because, you know, the show started on CBS, which obviously wasn't the right network for Supergirl. And then I felt like CW took what was started and they kind of tweaked some things and changed things around to make it more integrated into the rest of the DC universe. And now I feel that with this season, closing out everything that happened, it's opened brand new possibilities for storylines.
Well, I think that what was interesting about this episode tonight for me was that it certainly brought characters in new directions. It was definitely an episode of change for nearly everyone in that, you know, Supergirl team, as we like to call it. And Sam, I felt like Sam was one of the few resolutions that I really had in this episode that I'd been waiting on all season. This was like, I was like, okay, we are actually getting to an end with this, and that's actually where I want to start tonight. So with Sam, we see her struggling. We mentioned last week that as Rain gets stronger, Sam gets weaker. And tonight we saw Sam get her power back. And, you know, and go and fight Rain.
Well, and I really liked the way that they had it be sort of her talking to her mother in the Dark Valley. And that was very powerful to me. And that really felt like one of the more complete stories. I know Cam DeMello in the chat said it felt like they were just doing a checklist of all the things they had to wrap up. But I felt like this one was something that I didn't expect. And I was glad that they saved Sam because, you know, I've been shipping Sam and Alex all season. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like it was like this was something I didn't expect. And I was really happy for it because the scene, you know, sort of how her mom sort of woke her up. And, you know, it was just like, yeah, now I'm the stronger because she sort of dealt with that trauma.
I agree with you. No. I think that it was such a lovely way to have Sam get that power back. It's what I wanted. It's what we talked about certainly last week on the show was that I wanted to see Sam find her strength, but I was worried that that wasn't the direction we were going.
And I was also right last week when I said that I thought she would get the superpowers and defeat Rain, but then she wouldn't keep them. And we saw that. But I almost felt, especially with Alex's final conversation before the Supergirl one for Sam's storyline, I almost felt like it was a complete departure from her. Did I miss it? Did she say she's leaving?
No, there wasn't ever any hint that she was going anywhere.
No. Yeah. I think
I just felt because of Alex's conversation with John, to me, it almost felt like Sam had told her she was leaving.
I didn't get that so much as I felt like Sam kind of gets to have this new lease on life, right?
Absolutely.
For this entire season, we saw her literally in this internal battle within herself. You finally saw Rain and her separate, but she was still being controlled by Rain, and now we're finally getting to see Sam be Sam.
Yeah, I feel like Sam and Jean sort of had the same ending in a way of, like, they feel like this is their new lease on life. They aren't leaving, but they're going in a different direction because they're happy with where they are. Yeah,
absolutely. And I hope that we see Sam get some happiness in season 4. I feel like we saw her struggle this season, and I would like to see her come back and her and have this happy mother and happy life. We'll see if that happens or not, but that's what I would like to see. Also, another character with big change in this episode was Mon-El, who we thought was coming back to National City. Like, at least that is what I wanted. I know, I hear you on Twitter. I really wanted him to return to Kara.
Me too. We're right here, girl.
Love it. All right.
Yeah.
No, I wanted him to stay desperately, so I was really sad that he was going to a future. But there is a lot of hope because he gave Kara her Legionnaire ring. So I'm hoping that he comes back because, again, he reads something in the timeline and he feels that he just has to be there for Kara. And he comes in with his brand new suit designed by Wynn because Wynn's cool.
Yeah, you know, the internet knows, and begrudgingly so, they know that I'm a big Caramel supporter.
Yeah.
And then this right literally makes... Yeah, this literally makes
this
them...
This is our entire panel, yeah, by the way. Yeah.
This literally makes them star-crossed lovers.
Yeah.
He's on the future. She can now go into the future.
I mean, there's a lot of potential in, as you mentioned, her getting this ring, right? It allows, and we'll get into her storyline tonight and how
And the Legionnaire's rings, like in the comics, they have really cool powers. So I wonder next season if we'll get to see some of that, and it'll play into Mon-El coming back.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm never going to give up this ship. Like, I think they're adorable together. But I do feel like we're opening up this whole new storyline by him going back and being in the future, and she's in her timeline, but now she has this ring, and I think that that's really an interesting, because we've seen time travel, I think, on The Flash and a few other of these DC shows, and it's always really fun when they play with that.
Yeah, and what I liked, and, you know, we'll get to the ending a little bit, is that they did the time travel. And there is consequence, obviously, from this. And I feel like that'll be in more predictions. But, yeah, that was really good that they did that. And we have already seen, like, the Legion ring powers, as you see, where she was able to fly in Argo City when she normally couldn't. Or, you know, she was able to breathe in space. So we're already playing with the power set.
Yeah, and I think we're going to see her more. I feel like she's going to start to prioritize her personal life over some of the other things, because that was a lot of what this episode was about for almost all these characters. It was figuring out what was meaningful for them, whether that's career or personal life or what have you. They want to focus on something that's important to them. I think for a long time we kind of had, at the beginning of the season, almost like episodic, like, okay, they're going to solve this problem. And now we're seeing much more of this character-driven kind of in this back half of the episode, back half of the season.
I love it. Like, we saw so much character growth within this episode alone, especially for Kara. Mm-hmm. So, sorry, I don't mean to bounce topic on anyone just because we're talking about character growth. You know, that moment that she has with Mon-El, bringing it back, and she says to him, "This is my home. Like, Earth is my home." And I thought that was such a big deal, because from the pilot, she has been searching for herself, but not just like an identity thing. It's almost been like for a home, because she missed her dad and she missed her mom and she missed her aunt and uncle, and she kept missing Krypton. So to have her go to Argo City and then come back and realize that's a remnant of who I, of like what I remember myself being, this is who I am now, that was a huge growth moment.
A major theme of, I think, the show, and certainly Kara's storyline, has been finding family. And what does family mean? Is family something that you create yourself and it's, you know, the family you make? Or is it your, you know, relatives that are by blood, for lack of a better description.
Home is where you make it.
Right, and I think this episode certainly...
Family's who you choose.
Yeah, and I think that this episode, as like cheesy as it can be, certainly that was what she was deciding, was that, yes, her sister lives there, but it's not, you know, her mother. She doesn't need to go back to her homeland to feel connected. And I actually really appreciated that as a storyline.
I loved it. I loved that she had that, like, aha moment where she finally felt grounded.
Yeah, and I think you can see that tonight, going into her storyline a bit, you had her kind of debate whether she should be killing Rain, and she ultimately decides not to, and we see that kind of what should have been the pinnacle of the episode in a lot of ways, that Rain goes after. I wrote the list down. It was Mon-El. Mon-El was the main focus, and
Aurora,
yeah. And there was someone else as well. I'll look at this in a few seconds, but what I wanted, I guess, a little bit longer on Mon-El. Like, it felt like if you're going to kill Mon-El, I wanted a moment of her, like, despair over that. And it kind of immediately went into the guilt of, like, why didn't I kill her sooner? I don't know if that's how you felt.
Yeah, like, that was a really odd scene for me because it should have been really big emotional stakes. And it almost felt like this is going to get changed somehow. And that was where I felt like it should have been certainly higher. Because, yeah, and two, how she was just talking to John, not even going over to Mon-El, that scene just really played really weird for me, and I kind of wish they'd done it a different way, but yeah.
Yeah, I wanted that moment of, what have I done? This is tragic. And there was, like, a few seconds of it. I just wanted it to linger there for a moment more before we kind of got to this resolution of, like, of course I'm going to use, you know, time travel and fix everything. And I felt like it kind of ruined the stakes for me in her in that moment. I don't know how you felt about it.
No, I felt like it was kind of rushed. Because going into it, I didn't feel like the stakes were very high, mm-hmm. because so many things had already been fixed, you know, like the core of the planet fixed. Yeah. We already lost, which that was the saddest scene. But, you know, the stakes weren't as high, especially with us knowing that Sam was going to show up with her newly enhanced Kryptonian powers. And I don't know. Then they do up the stakes, but it was so instant.
Yeah. And then, so then we see her, of course, using this ring to do time travel so that she can undo what she has done, essentially. And is able to go back and save Mon-El. And that, for me, was a moment that is interesting because it opens up a whole new, like, universe for season 4, right? We haven't really seen her time travel before. Like, this is a really fascinating place to be.
I think Supergirl's future timeline when she's in the 31st century and part of the Legionnaires is phenomenal. So I'm so excited for the idea that next season could possibly take place with her in the future and interfacing with the past or something like that.
Yeah, I do feel like we might be seeing that next season, but I really hope that they do, like, the Flash and sort of have that moment of, like, you know, we have a time travel show. We don't need to do too much time travel on this show because it gets a little too confusing, and especially because these shows are all in the same timeline.
No, Supergirl isn't.
Well, yes, it is. It's on a different Earth. Yeah. For the crossovers, these are, I mean,
different. Kara, that's knows what I was Barry. Thinking. Yeah. It's like different Earth.
Yeah, different Earths. But yeah, like, that's the thing is time travel is the Legends of Tomorrow. I mean, it's the time travel show.
Yeah, but they travel everywhere. I meant like her permanently. Mm. Being in the future and affecting change.
Yeah, I don't see them doing that because we're not going to see, like, Alex and, you know, of course, Wynn is there now, but, like, the thing is they're that would probably be more like an arc, but yeah.
Yeah. Alex felt like she was over it.
I think we're jumping a little bit into predictions. Before we get to predictions and what's happening with Wynn, mm-hmm. Alex, we have so much more to cover. I do want to tell you a special message from AfterBuzz TV.
Yes. Hey, AfterBuzzers. Here at the network, we produce aftershows for nearly all your favorite TV shows. From dramas, reality TV, sci-fi, and more. There's no network that works harder to serve television fans. But now, we need your help. We're asking that you please subscribe to one or more of our YouTube channels. Besides helping us a ton, here's what's in it for you. One, it caters to specific content you already like directly to you. Two, it brings your favorite after shows so you don't have to seek them out. And three, it suggests content from other channels or podcasts that might interest you. Subscribing to our YouTube channels will also help you discover new shows that we're sure you'll love. Since you're already tuned in to our AfterBuzz sci-fi channel, you might be interested in checking out Westworld, Into the Badlands, Cloak and Dagger, or catching up on past after shows that maybe you haven't seen before, like The Flash and Legends of Tomorrow.
That one's the best.
Mm-hmm.
We love you, Lucretia.
And remember, we have channels for other genres too, so please don't be shy about subscribing to them either. And if you're worried about pesky notifications, don't be. They're optional. It's easy. Hit that subscribe button now for an even easier AfterBuzz experience. And if you let us know that you did it in the comments, we'll shout you out on air. Thanks for being the best fans. We promise to continue to do our best to serve you.
Yeah, and we have so much great content on AfterBuzz, so definitely take a moment, subscribe to their channels. Anything that you're interested in, we pretty much cover it, so definitely do that. So let's jump back to Supergirl and talk about Wynn. This was kind of the one that I found most surprising, I think, in the episode. It, of course, has been teased in the trades, and we'll get into that in our news and gossip, but I was surprised that this was the direction that his storyline took on the show.
Yeah, like, because it did seem to come out of nowhere, because I feel like we maybe got a lead up in the last episode, but up until that point, we've had these great emotional beats with Wynn and his mom that maybe could have sort of played into this, but then it's like, I kind of wish that we would have seen more of Wynn in this timeline coming with his mom. And we may get that next season because, you know, him going to the future in this episode doesn't really mean anything for next season other than that's going to be where he starts out. Because he did seem to think that this was not permanent. So at least that was good. But yeah, this sort of like, oh, well, I can really help people. And I feel like his guilt for Deimos last episode is part of what has, you know, inspired him to go and save the future.
I think the sense I had of it was he would never have considered it had he not realized that his technology could save people, right? He wants to do good, and that's been an element of his story almost from day one on Supergirl.
I love that scene between Brainy and Wynn because the fallout from the last episode was that he was so upset at himself that he had failed, that someone had been injured when he had told them to use his technology, and for Brainy to show up and be like, no, this design has literally saved millions of people throughout the timeline. It's awesome. That was so good to see. Because he's such a good guy, and I'm always rooting for Wynn. I always want him to win.
Yeah, exactly.
Win-win.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's where all our heads were at. I think that he's a character that certainly I've rooted for a long time, and it was nice to see him get this kind of victory in so many ways. The one thing that hurts me is that I think this victory ultimately means, and again, we'll get into it in news and gossip, but we'll get less of Jeremy on the show, which makes me sad because I think that he's such a fun part of the show. And I think he brings so much fun.
He's one of the best parts of the show. Yeah.
He brings like fun when it's serious and it's intense, he often is the character who brings light and he's the eyes and ears of the audience. I think we've talked about it before.
Yeah, that's absolutely what I was going to bring up is like he's sort of the audience character on the show, much like a Cisco or Felicity. And so, yeah, it is unfortunate that this storyline is sort of taking him out of the DEO and maybe away from us for a little while because his point of view is much more relatable than some of the other characters to more people.
Absolutely. Yeah. And he's certainly, I mean, I think that it's such a career win for him. When I was watching, I was having this like struggle of like, we still want you at the DEO. And that's his family, right? Going back to what we were talking about earlier, like the DEO is certainly his family. And you saw at the beginning of our episode, we used that Charlie Puth song. And that was kind of the moment he was saying goodbye to everybody.
Yeah.
And nobody does emotion better than Charlie Puth. And it really like elevated that scene for me as well.
But you know what? The thing about Wynn is that he's so affable and just wonderful to be around in general that I feel that if we do see him in the future, he'll have bonded with like new familial bonds with the Legionnaires.
Yeah, that is true. Like, I think he will find a family anywhere he goes. He is a guy who connects with people. And we saw it because he used to be at the newspaper, if you remember, in season one. Mm-hmm. He's now at the DEO. And
we've done it for some of season two as well.
Yeah, that is true.
They started off,
He transferred at some point in season two. But I feel like he kind of makes connections wherever. He's a people person, for sure.
Yeah, and Billie Jean Girl brought up a good point. Wynn isn't dating his alien girlfriend anymore, is he? Like, I love how that was just dropped. Like, that seemed really weird to me, because I really thought that was a cute storyline, and they just dropped it. And maybe, you know, never mind, I'll say that.
I thought after, like, all the lying and everything else that went down, that they just kind of stopped.
Yeah, like, they never mentioned it. Like, yeah, that was the thing.
I don't think they've ever actually put a bow on that storyline. I think it was just kind of like she went off, if I'm recalling. Tell me on Twitter, guys, if I'm wrong in the live chat. Of course, we're always on the live chat. Yeah, so I really want to know, though, in terms of when, do you think that this is a permanent? Is he off permanently to Legion?
No, I feel like it's... If he is, I feel like they might move the Supergirl storyline.
Okay.
Yeah, like, I don't think this is permanent.
Okay. Interesting. I feel like it could be.
I was trying to figure out if he got a show or something.
Yeah, I think it'll be a decision that ultimately comes down to kind of the creative direction of moving forward and where they take Supergirl's storyline. You're absolutely right. They
just love Wynn so much, like, in the fandom and also on the show, that my question about this sudden change was one of a couple of things had to have happened. One, he booked some kind of show or a project that he really wants to work on, so they're giving him the time to do that. Two, is his wife having a baby? Like, did he decide to, like, stay home more so that he could help her with it? Or three, does he just want to explore his options? But either way, I hope that we get to see him back.
Well, we'll discuss more of that in news and gossip, certainly. So let's talk about Alex and her desire to be a mother. This has come up all season, and I really wanted it to move forward in some way, and it really, to me, felt like she admits again that that's a priority for her, and then she's making a big step and goes to John and says, I don't want to be a part of the DEO anymore, like, I don't want to put my life in danger, I want this more than I want anything else.
Yeah, and to me, like, that felt like moving on, but then she's like, no, you're getting promoted, you're going to be a director, and that is, like, a safer job. She's not really out in the mm-hmm. field, so it sort of progressed it, and then it went back. It was very odd, and as mm-hmm. I say, her conversation with Lena, we see her wanting to move forward, and then this was her arc almost the entire season, and it's like, it really didn't end, and it's kind of odd.
Yeah, it felt like giving her the director role, again, I kind of said it at the beginning of the episode, this felt to me like a decision that they made when they thought that this potentially could be the season finale, because that to me is like, okay, she's having a happy career, and there's this potential for a child, and kind of tying up everything into a bow.
See, for me, her getting that promotion was almost like a nail in the coffin, because when you get a huge promotion like that, now you're overseeing everything. She was trying to tell Jean how difficult it was to have that job and be a single mom and do it on her own. And he's like, yeah, no, you can't quit. I'm actually giving you a massive promotion and you are now going to oversee hundreds of employees. Yeah. So now it's like, wow, she's not even a DEO agent anymore. She's the director. So when is she going to find that balance?
I don't know, but I think that it was an interesting conversation, because certainly the point of that conversation was like, you can have it all. And that's something that has come up in pop culture, in you know, many women's publications, of like, can you have it all? And it's like a question that people keep coming back to, and to have this show again deal with those kinds of issues, and they do it so well. And I hope that that's the way that they take this, is how do you find that balance? If you have the high powered job and you are a mother, like, how do you balance that? And I hope that's a season four storyline.
Yeah, and two, Seth Ross brings up a good point. It'd be way more invested in the mother Alex storyline if she adopted, like, a superpowered teen or something. And maybe that's something that this job could maybe provide as the director of the DEO. Because I know they did this with Law & Order SVU, so I'm going with this. Is maybe, you know, a kid becomes in custody for that. Like, you know, because they deal with a lot of superpowers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, writers, if you're watching. Dun, dun,
dun. I love that. That would be amazing. Be awesome. Because I think it allows her to use the DEO background and kind of have the mothering. It's a great combination. I love that. So
yeah, and it would also tie it in with her becoming the director, because she would be in charge of that kid's destiny and like how they handle it and how it moves forward. And she could be the moving forward piece. That'd be beautiful.
So let's jump into John's story. Of course, we kind of teased it in hers. He is deciding to leave the director role. He says he'll still be around in what capacity, they didn't really make clear tonight, but he's leaving that director role of the DEO because he realizes through this kind of process he's been in with his father that, like, he needs to have more family time and more kind of, I guess, like, time on his own.
Well, you know, in the Martian Manhunter comics and in the Justice League animated series, the thing about Martian Manhunter is he really lives out in the world and he disguises himself as human to meet different people and understand how Earthlings interact and live and what they value and how we work. And I don't know why I'm saying they, like I'm not human.
Yeah, I was going to say us collectively. There you go. You got it.
Jeez. So, yeah, like I think it's actually really cool. And that could bring in a really cool storyline, especially with where they ended the episode for Jean.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like in two, Mern's death was a little like glossed over, but I feel like we had led up so much to that that I wasn't disappointed in that, and it was really great just because we'd had so much, you know, in the grief already. But yeah, I feel like John's moment in this, I really hope we see Magan next season because it would be nice to see her back and someone he really had bonded with. Yeah. And maybe him sort
backpacking
of...
backpacking together.
Yeah, exactly. Decide
having
to make
a sandwich on like a diner, Route 66.
I agree that the death was brushed over, but to me it was almost like he was imparting that knowledge and like he wasn't really gone. And that was such a lovely way of...
They also built up to his death over three episodes.
Yeah, so we had definitely dealt with that. It was not a shocking death. Certainly it was something that had been building all season, and certainly you're right, in those last three episodes.
Exactly. While it was glossed over, it was a little like, we had so much to deal with here.
Yeah. And then we had James, who of course finally reveals publicly he is Guardian. I think that this is something that I have wanted literally for at least a season and a half.
I just don't get the point of it. Like, what's the point of being a superhero if you have no secret identity?
Well, I mean, one of the greatest superheroes did that already, Iron Man. I mean, and that was one of the better parts of, like, the movies.
Yeah, but
and
Iron Man is so cocky.
Yeah, but in two, I don't feel like Jimmy's cocky. I felt like in the moment when he took off his mask and the way that he did it was to be human and be this human person that they could relate to. And that's his whole point with his job and everything. You know, he is this hero, but he's the human hero. And he's the one that is relating to the people in that.
That's what I kind of feel like as well, was that James certainly realizes that his power is greater once he's revealed. He can connect with the citizens in a way that Supergirl just can't.
All right, touche. I hadn't seen it in that point of view, so I'll go ahead and agree.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. Great.
I just hadn't thought of it from that point of view. For me, it was like, you're taking all the super out of superhero if you tell people who you are.
No, I think that ultimately it's showing a different side, that Supergirl has one capacity and her powers are different from Guardian. And by revealing who he is getting to have a real connection with people. And that was something that we've kind of seen him struggle with all season, of like, will they respect me? Will they like me if they know who I am?
Yeah, and that's sort of why it made total sense for him, because that's been his arc, is wanting to connect to people and wanting to save people. And when he made that choice to take off his mask and that woman, and he saw how much more he was able to help her, it made total sense to do it. Even though it did feel like, well, they kind of did that on Arrow at the end of the season too. But yeah, I felt like it made more sense here.
Interesting. Yeah. And then I want to get to the final few minutes of the episode, which is so fascinating. First of all, let's talk a little bit about Lena and...
Oh, I totally called it. In the middle of watching it, when Allura was thanking Lena for giving her the Harrenel, and she's like, oh, I'm so glad it's off this planet. Did you guys see that screenshot? That was the shadiest side eye. I couldn't even watch the main performance. I was watching her in the back like... Who is she looking at? That's super shady. So I was not surprised at the reveal at all.
Yeah.
She kept it.
I, you know, honestly, because if I was Lena, I probably would have kept it too. Because, you know, what, as you saw with Argo City, all these uses for this. And, you know, Lena is somebody looking, and thank God she was able to make kryptonite because they've had to use this. So maybe Lena's right sometimes. But I didn't like how they portrayed it as evil. And this is something that I've been, and as well as a lot of the people in the chat and the commenters, we don't want them to go down the Smallville route. And it's kind of lazy because it would be much more interesting if we kept maybe Lena could do maybe an evil thing here or there or something that maybe isn't kosher like Supergirl level. But we don't need to have this, you know, breakdown again between these two characters. It's much more interesting if they're friends.
I have this thought about that. I think that this is actually going to make her friends with Supergirl, because when she finds out that Kara Danvers is actually Supergirl, she is going to have no, like, sand to stand on her little soapbox of being transparent.
Interesting.
Because this is clearly going to be a mistake. And it's that sense where you're always like, Lucretia, you like to point out that, you know, Supergirl has a bit of a god complex, right? Well, Lena has unchecked power. She runs this huge multi-bajillion corporation. She's in charge of everything and she does what she wants. And you know what, girl? Power to you. I'll give you that. But nobody checks your power. And anytime somebody voices their concerns, she shuts them down because I know what is best. And while she is a genius, I think this is going to blow up in her face and she's going to have to eat a chunk of humble pie.
Well, and to like...
That won't necessarily make her evil so much as she's going to be in adversity for a minute.
Yeah, well, and two, that is the beauty of the Lena character, is there actually is, or has been, several checks in her power. Because, well, two, she's human, she's not Kryptonian, so I don't really agree with that assessment that Lena, in her business, has even dealt with Morgan Edge. I mean, this whole season has been about Lena being powerless. I mean, certainly with her relationship with her mother. So, yeah, that's something that we've already seen, and it does make sense to, as with anybody, sometimes making bad choices like time travel will blow up
in
your face.
I felt like this was such a great teaser for kind of what's to come in season four. Like, it opens up more possibilities, and that's a lot of what this was about, as I mentioned earlier in the episode. Lots of change, lots of movement happening. But then we had the final scene, and this felt very Marvel to me in a lot of ways. It was like this big teaser scene that, like, didn't really relate to the rest of the episode. Of course, this was about Red Sun, and we looked this up, and it's really about kind of this, like, duality or another Supergirl. And you have a little more information on it?
Yeah, I do. So Red Sun, for those of you who don't know, was a three-part miniseries comics that DC released. It's set in the 50s, and it actually spans the decades until the final one is actually a futuristic take on it, where it's what would happen if because of a time difference, the world had been turning on a slightly different place, and Superman had landed in Ukraine.
In Russia.
He lands in a small town in Ukraine, and then he becomes the hero of Russia, and Lex Luthor marries Lois Lane and is president. What? And he ends up with, like, a Ukrainian Lana. But so anyway, so what happens in Red Sun that I think is really interesting is that Lex Luthor actually creates a duplicate Superman to fight him for the Allied powers, so from Britain and so on and so forth. Yeah. So I'm wondering if the Harrenel and Lena's meddling has somehow created a second Supergirl on accident.
It certainly has to do with the time travel that we saw tonight in the episode. I'm really intrigued to see where this goes, because comic book fans are going to love this. It's certainly an homage to that. But it felt very kind of like an odd ending to an episode that was very much not this.
Yeah, this is very much Super Point, if you will, that this is a consequence of time travel, as we see often in these shows, is because, you know, things do have consequences, especially time travel. And that's what I love, is that's a sort of check and power, and that, you know, yes, you can do this, but what's it going to do? And of course, create an alternate evil Russian you.
But a fun fact for, like, looking forward to next season is that Stargirl is in these comics. So could we be getting Stargirl next year? I'd be so pumped.
Stargirl's actually already been on Legends of Tomorrow. So I do kind of wonder if they would use that one.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see.
Will she be, like, a different version of herself because of the time travel now, and it's a different world? Or will we get...
We only have a few minutes left, unfortunately, for our podcast, but let us know what you're thinking about this finale. We, of course, love hearing from you. You can go on YouTube, iTunes, let us know. We'll all, during the off season, be still looking at all of that. So definitely let us know. We have a little news and gossip and some quick predictions. So, who doesn't love Brainiac? I feel like we are such huge fans of that. So, Jesse Roth, who, of course, plays Brainiac, will be promoted to a series regular in season 4, which I'm really excited for. I think that brings a lot of fun elements and, again, plays into that time travel.
Brainy and Supergirl have some of the best adventures together in the comics, so I'm really excited.
Yeah, and that's the thing, is I do kind of wonder if we'll explore more of the Brainy-Supergirl relationship, because they didn't really hold a lot of scenes together, which I found odd, considering that's been a mainstay in the comics and a lot of the cartoons. But yeah, like, you know, it's so great to see him upgraded to series regular, but there's an unfortunate downside to this as
well. Exactly, and we teased it so much in this episode, but Jeremy Jordan, his role will be reduced next season. Of course, he plays Wynn, and executive producers say that they feel like he's fulfilled his potential, which we saw tonight, that he's doing good. He has kind of achieved the goals that he wanted to on the series, I feel like, in terms of character arc.
Yeah, and that's the thing, is we've gotten so much good stuff from Wynn, and I do feel like there's a lot more to tell, but maybe that's why he's wanting to be on recurring, because Jeremy Jordan is a very busy guy. I mean,
he's been all over, and they're just saying at this point that he wants to explore other creative endeavors, which, of course, could be a new role. We'll have to keep finding that out. I don't think they've announced what specifically he's working on, but he also films in Canada. You know, there's a lot of at play when actors get into these situations.
Well, and two, I don't think people realize how hard these guys work up in Vancouver. These are 10, 12 hour days for like most of the year, spread out with little vacations here or there. So sometimes people just want a little bit of a break and not want to do that grind.
I hope that we see more of him, though. I hope that, you know, he's still on the show, that his presence is still felt. Like, it doesn't suddenly become that he's off the show, because that would make me really sad.
Yeah, like,
well, he is set to recur, so we can expect him.
Yeah, so that'll be great. And let's jump into predictions.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV.
I feel like we've been predicting all episode, but I'm so excited. I felt like this episode really did kind of bring new ideas to the forefront. I think we've kind of had these same storylines all season, and this tied some of those up and opened new doors for these characters, and I'm excited to see hopefully a happier Sam. Mon-El, what does it mean that he's heading to the future? There's a lot of questions, and that's where I like a season finale to kind of be, is I feel like you can open more doors, and they're going to have to kind of backpedal a bit and figure out where they're going.
Yeah, because I'm so happy that Sam is alive, because maybe what I've been predicting and hoping for all season could happen, and that would kind of give Alex that, you know, mothering instinct that we've wanted to see and she's wanted with Ruby, because if her and Sam get together, because they're so cute.
Yeah.
And, you know, baby makes three.
Totally.
I think that because of the time travel, that we're going to see this effect in the crossover episode this coming year.
Interesting.
Because I wonder if it's messed up anybody else's timelines. Because like you said, she is in their timeline, even though she's on a different Earth.
Yeah, I mean, maybe baby Sarah is back and not John Diggle Jr.
And I'm interested to see where this leaves Kara, because a lot of the people she goes to are kind of going away from her. You have Wynn leaving, Mon-El leaving her, and ultimately she's going to have to do more of standing on her own 2 feet, and I think that that's a really interesting place for her after all these struggles.
But now her relationship with her sister has never been stronger.
I agree. And I love that relationship. Yeah. There's nothing more enjoyable than watching the two of them together. So I'm excited for what's to come in season 4.
Really quick, I do want to just address that last week on like the internet, like on Twitter and here on the chat, you guys were really upset because you felt like Superman hadn't been mentioned at all. And I don't know if you heard it, but in the opening of the episode, they did say that Superman saved Madagascar by himself. So for those of you that felt that he wasn't being acknowledged as being on the planet, he was.
Yeah, I mean,
how? And there's like pretty pictures of him on the screen, yeah. So that's what I'm looking at.
Yeah, I think it's going to be interesting to see now that we kind of have some of these storylines from Superman playing into this world as well, how it all connects in. But those answers will, of course, come in season 4. Thank you so much for watching and hanging out with us here at AfterBuzz. We love having you, and it's been such a great season of Supergirl. Of course, you can find AfterBuzz at AfterBuzz TV, and you can find me at Stephanie Wanger all over the internet.
Hey guys, you can find me on Twitter at Carolina Benetti and on Instagram at LenaBean113.
And since I'm Lucretia Lyon, guys, you can always find me at LACRETIALYON anywhere on the internet, since there is only one. And subscribe to my podcast, Mrs. Brightside and The Red Room. New episodes for The Red Room come out Mondays and Tuesdays for Mrs. Brightside. So whether you want to talk about the bright side of depression or that new Halloween trailer, you can always find me there.
All right. Thanks for another great season, guys. See you soon.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.